What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Psalm 127, amen. Psalm 127. A lot of times when we quote the Psalm, Psalm 127, we are most times thinking of it as a psalm of protection. Those of you who have been praying with us on the platform every morning, and you can join us every morning 5 to 6 a.m. GMT plus one. Amen. We just gather to pray. You can follow the link to be put up later. You notice I've been reading Psalms because Psalms are powerful. And scripture encourages us to read Psalms. That's what Paul told the Colossians. Hallelujah. Say, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is debauchery, wherein there is excess, but be being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. He says, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And when he talks about psalms, yes, there are psalms that God will give to you, but the psalm he's talking about there also refers to the psalms that are inspired in God's word. Like I was telling you this morning, almost every truth that stands as doctrine in the New Testament has its roots in Psalms because it's a prophetic book. It's prophetic. It's filled with prayers. It's filled with promises. Psalm 127 is one of such Psalms. And most times when we read Psalm 127, a lot of us read it when we want to speak about protection. We say, the Lord, except the Lord builds a house, the labor in vain who build, and unless the Lord builds a city, guards the city, the watchmen watch in vain. But how many of you know that scripture, that psalm, is not talking about protection? If you read it in context, it's a psalm for children. Every time I pray for my children, I quote this psalm. I take it, I lift it up, and I speak it over them. And by the way, that's every week. So Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain, who build it? And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. So concerning your children, you will have sleep, nothing to trouble you. And that's what I always say. I'll have no sleepless night on account of the name of my child. Amen. Because he's the builder of their lives and he's watching their lives. Of course, he doesn't exonerate me from doing what is expected of me, because the Bible says to train them in the way they should go. But ultimately, it's not me that builds their lives. It's God that builds their lives. It's God that protects them. Because how protective can you be over children? How protective? How well can you build, no matter how good a master builder you are? So you must, that's not my message tonight, but you must learn to trust God where your children are concerned. And learn to take off your hands, are you me? And instead of trusting your own ability, learn to trust God. I said, look, I'm trusting you for these children. Are we together? So he now says in the third verse, behold, that's the subject. Children are a heritage from who? From the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. He says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. That means children are designed to speak at the gates. Gates are important. We're talking about possessing the gates. And today we are children of God. Remember where we started from. That there was a promise made to Abraham, right? That the whole world does what? Belongs to him. And this whole world means everywhere, every sector, every sphere. God is expecting Abraham to plant his agenda in the lives of people. A lot of times we keep hearing, these people have an agenda. So people have an agenda. Make no mistake, God has an agenda also. That his kingdom will be established in the lives of people. That his kingdom will be visibly seen in the lives of people. God is interested in every tribe, every people, every sphere. So as much as this scripture can be used to speak for our children, how many of you know it's also speaking about the spiritual sons of God? To as many as received him, John said, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God. That means if you're born again, you're a son of God. And the Bible says, happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. That means you look at the church, God's quiver is filled with sons like you and myself. And he's saying that at the gates of the enemy, we will be speaking. Pastor Tame invited me to Vine Life Fellowship. And just before I went, as I was they were driving me in to go for the meeting, this psalm was so strong on my heart because the scripture came to me. God said I should read it from the message, from the Passion Translation. So can we look at the Passion Translation if you can? Look at what verse 4 says. He said, children born to a young couple will one day rise to protect and provide for their parents. Verse 5 says, happy will be the couple who has many of them. A household full of children will not bring shame, Kai, will not bring shame on your name, but victory when you face your enemies. He says, for your offspring will have influence and honor. The word I want you to see there is the word what? Influence. When he said that they will be speaking at the gates, you know what he's saying? He's saying that they will be people of influence. Gates are places of influence. Yes, gates are portals. They're portals. They are spiritual portals. You remember when Jacob was fleeing from his brother? The Bible says he came to a place, he took a stone and put his head there. And as he put his head there, he had a dream through the night. And what was that dream? There was a ladder that was reaching the heaven, and he saw angels ascending and descending. And when he woke up, he said, oh, this must be the gate of God. He said, the Lord is in this place. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And he called the name of that place what? Bethel. That means at that point, there were spiritual what? Transactions. And if you begin to do a detailed study, you will discover that when God called Abraham, there were people who had spiritual what? Experiences in that place before he came there. That's why, have you noticed? You walk into certain places and certain things begin to happen without any effort of yours. You know, at those places, by reason of spiritual deposits, they've become portals, they become doorways, they've become places where as you come, you just enter into certain experiences, into certain things. It is said concerning where Christ Family Center, Boko Church, is located. I remember the night we did the groundbreaking service and we were going, you know, we're just rejoicing and dancing because that's what God told us. We had a convention coming and we were evacuated from our former place. We didn't have a venue. It's good to have childlike faith. And we just mobilized ourselves and said, let's go build. And it looked like there was no money anywhere. So we're just rejoicing and dancing. And there's this elder minister of the gospel, Pastor Kenabu. And he called me aside and said, Pastor Arame, come. And he held my hands and began to pray for me. Great man of God. And as he was praying for me, he said, many years ago, where CFC Boko is, amen, where we are right now, praise God. This is the embassy of Makodi for today. He said that they had been praying. He had been evangelizing these communities. And it looked like nothing was happening for many years. And he said, Lord, bring a church into this community. And he was looking as though a church could never come into this village. Some of you don't understand what I'm saying. In 1983, when I was in GRA, when we came to GRA, 1984, there was no base garden. Our house was the last house in GRA. After our house, you see a bush. So all these places were thick forest. Then there was one old hospital called Gyado Hospital. It was in the bush. And those were the days this man was coming here and praying. And you know how we got this land was supernatural. Somebody wanted to cheat us out of another land. Then we landed here. And when we entered into this place, this ministry exploded. Not because of any extra thing we were doing. Are you with me? It's just because we entered into a gate. We stepped into the harvest of the labors of those who have gone before. Is that not what Jesus said in John 4? There are some of you here who will reap where you have not sown. So I believe that Christ Family Center is a product of grace. We are situated in a place where a man had been praying and had been witnessing and has been trusting God, and we were the prayer answer to the prayer he had been making, and we stepped into this place. This has become our Bethel. So we are very strategic where we are. I was driving down with someone 2 days ago and I said, do you know when we came here, there was no road into this place? Look at now. The whole place has opened up. It's turned into a city. We possess the gates. So that's the gate. But that's not the only gate. And I know there are portals. Men are portals. Men are gates. They are men that when you meet, you enter into new experiences. True or false? They are ministers of the gospel that when you come in contact with them, your life changes. I have had many experiences like that, but I'm not here tonight to share those experiences with you. I've met with people that I can tell exactly that when I met with this minister of the gospel, this particular thing began to happen in my life. It was so definite because it was without any struggle I had stepped into something. But the gates we are talking right now are gates of influence. Is somebody following? What God wants us to focus on in this convention is that there are places of influence that we should get into. Genesis 24, when they were going to get Isaac a wife, Rebecca. You know, if you can, just project that for me. Genesis 24, verse 16. The Bible says, Rebecca's father asked Rebecca, do you want to go with this man and get married to the son of Abraham? And she said, I want to go. So she was not forced. And the Bible says, the family began to bless her. And guess what he said? And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants, your seeds. How many of you still keep seeing this word seeds? And may your seeds possess the gates of those who hate them. Taking you and shooting you into the exact place where he needs you to be. Into places of what? Of influence. So when we talk about gatekeepers, it's not in the context that we use it today. Gatekeepers are not gate men. They are not people who open and close doors like we think. Gates are places of influence. Some of you who are IT folks, I'm not too much of an IT person, so please don't put me down. But I hear people talk about gateways, right? They are gateways. They are places you can pass to access certain things and do certain things. That means if someone has the password, he can decide what can pass and what will not pass. That means the password is power, authority, influence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So if you go through scripture, you will discover that the gates that are talked about in Genesis, the gates that God spoke to Abraham about, are listed in scriptures. We can see them. So we'll just see a couple of them. I don't know if you want to see them. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 21. Okay, let's read from verse 20. Scripture says, for the terrible one is brought to nothing, the scornful one is consumed, and all who watch for iniquity are cut off. Verse 21. Who make a man an offender by a word and lay a snare for who? And lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate and turn aside the just by what? Empty words. What is he talking about? Give me the Message translation if you can. He's talking about the legal system. The legal space is a gate in the society. How many of you know judges can determine what can happen in the land? They say that the judge is the God on earth. After the judge, there are various levels through which cases are tried, and it's the judge who decides what is right and what is wrong. And the judge is said to be the representative of God here on earth. And if a judge condemns you to death, how many of you know, you will die. If the judge acquits you, you are acquitted. So judges can decide and influence largely on what happens. And even in scripture, that's what scripture says. Say, gone the people who corrupted the courts. That means we need people. We need believers in the courts. You know why? The person who is at the gate determines the policies of the city. The person who is at the gate determines the activities of the city. So listen, it's not as much as how many people are in the city, but the people who are at the gates. The gates are important. While the people in the city complain, the people at the gates make the decision. They make the call. They do they are the ones who make the calls that affect the lives of people. And one of those areas is what? Is the courts. He said, gone the people who cheated the poor, gone the people who victimized the innocent. So if you have the wrong set of people, and listen, these gates we're talking about is highly sought by the devil because of the influence it can exert in people's lives. How many of you know it took the courts to hang Jesus? Do you know Jesus had a trial? He was tried. They went through the judiciary. It was the judiciary that put him on the cross. They didn't just take him and shoot him. They gave him a trial, but it was not a fair trial. That means even today, if we don't have our kinds at the gates, are you getting me? The gospel can suffer. So we cannot attempt to act like it's not important. Amos chapter 5, verse 12. Amos 5. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from justice where? At the gate. That means in Bible days, where were the judges seated? At? They were at the gate. And if you have a corrupt judge, like those who are being flushed out of this country in the name of Jesus. If you have a corrupt judge at the gate, it means that there will be lots of criminals running freely in the city because he can be influenced by bribes. So judges were at the gate. So when the Bible says your children shall possess the gates, it means that your children will be judges. They will be in the legal field. Say amen. Proverbs 31 verse 23. Proverbs 31 verse 23. I told you this morning. Proverbs 31 woman. Look at verse 22. The Bible says concerning the Proverbs 31 woman, she makes what? Tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. That means this woman has knows class. So there's nothing wrong. You can be classy and godly. Not necessarily naked and godly. Maybe you can be classy. You can have class. The Bible says this woman had class. But look at what it said concerning her husband. She knows how to marry too. The Bible says her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, you know why? The elders of the land, the policy makers, the people who determine the laws of the land, guess where they sit? At the gate. Go and read your Bible. Anytime someone offended, where did they take you to? They took you to the gate. Anytime they want to make policies, where did they go to make the policies? At the gate. The elders sat there. If you did not merit a seat among the elders, you had no place at the gate. Do you get the picture? I see you sitting in places where decisions are made. In the name of Jesus. That means nothing will pass through our land without your opinion being sought. Are we alive here? Nothing will just happen. Sisters, cheer up. Your husbands are at the gate. You know the way they look at some men and say, men them. That is what I'm saying. That's the kind of husband she had. He sat at the gate. He didn't sit under one old tree playing draft. He had a voice at the gate. That means when we talk about gates, we are talking about people who have voices, even in business. There was a time when a particular, let me call it, the Igbos refuse. You know, the Igbos have a day of prayer in almost every town I've been to. But it was so obvious in Boko. Because I needed something and I called someone in the office. I said, please, I need you to quickly dash to town and go and buy this. And he said, Pastor, we have to wait till past 12, till afternoon. I said, why? He said, today is the Igbo people's day of prayer. I said, then what? I also prayed. He said, no, when they are praying like that, they don't open their shops. Do you get the picture? That means if they make a decision, everybody will wait. So it's not the son of the soil that owns the gate. Is a person with the influence. So you can't be going around and bragging and all you're saying is that he's us. No. The resources of the earth do not respond to where you are born. It responds to the people who have the influence. That's why I laugh at people who say because we are from here, they must give to us the proceeds from this place. Listen, don't have such mentality. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read down to you 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 11. We all know the story of those lepers who were outcast outside the city. And the Bible says that the Syrian had come against and encamped around Israel. And these lepers were just here and said to themselves, if we enter into the city, they will not accept us. We'll be stoned to death because we are labeled unclean. And if we go into the camp of the Syrians, what would they do? They might kill us. But let's take that chance. Because if they kill us, we'll only die. Hear me, the day death is not a threat to you. You will burst into everything your heart has desired. No, you didn't hear me. The day you are not afraid that you will die, nothing will stop you. And I got good news. You know, when this whole thing started, people just kept calling, Pastor Rome, they are warning us. They said, people shouldn't meet here. People should. I said, let your heart not be little. Let not your heart easily faint. Jesus said, be of good courage. You know what good courage is? It means have a brave heart. I know what courage. Courage means be able to take steps even in the face of evident danger. So even if the storms are blowing, we're not saying you're not seeing the storms, but because Jesus spoke, be willing to take a step out of the boat and walk. Not when the... don't become a meteorologist if you want to walk in life. Jesus says, come out of the boat. You say, Jesus, did you check the weather report today? Jesus, did you see the weather report? This can't be you talking. I just heard from the weather report that this is Hurricane Jonah. Anytime there's Hurricane Jonah, there are whales everywhere. If you consider the wind, you're not taking this step. So the Bible says they decide to take this step. And I love God. God is interesting. God is, see, you need to look at this God. He will not always act the way you expect. It was lepers, three lepers that were coming into the camp. Guess how, what God did? The Bible says he amplified their steps. The enemies were hearing it as though there were 1,000 soldiers coming. Fear gripped their heart. They said, oh, the king of Israel has gone to get mercenaries against us. So they ran for fear. You know, I want you to imagine the kind of fear that will make soldiers run and leave everything they came to war with. Leave their tent, leave their horses. I thought if you want to run, if you went somewhere with your car and you are terrified, I was thinking the natural thing to do was to enter your car and run. But this fear was so much, even to enter the car, there was no time. They felt they could be faster than the car. Oh, but the Bible tells us, hallelujah, that when they got there, it was an empty camp. And they began to loot. These lepers began to loot. That's the word used in one of the translations I read. They began to loot the place. And as they were looting, they said, no. If they discover that we found this booty all for ourselves, we're going to have issues. What did they say? They said, we'll go and tell the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers called out and told it to the king's household. So they went to the gatekeepers. Why? Because city gates were places of public announcements. City gates, are you hearing me, were media centers. We need people in the media. Because if you control the media, you will determine the information in the city. Let me speak to someone. Those of you, how many of you are into media? Anywhere you are, if you're watching me, put your hands up. Amen. If you're into media, you're into IT, listen, take it seriously. You can either put faith or fear in people through the media. It's a gate. A lot of people were scared of the COVID-19 or 20. Not because they've seen one person. They didn't read any specimen, because somebody said it. And you know how it's so publicized. It's everywhere. You turn to the internet. You open a page. There's a small information on COVID. Some of you have washed your hands almost pale. I went to a house. The little boy was standing there. He said, excuse me. Hand sanitizer. And I love Nigerians. Everything is an opportunity. Do you know, in less than 1 week, I started seeing everything everywhere. Even Ogogoro was everywhere. Information. Listen to me. The media can determine your perception. The media can determine what you believe. The media can shape and frame your mind. And that is why there are lots of people today who believe what they hear in the media more than what they hear in the Word of God. Why? Because what we take for granted is what the devil actively pursues. The media we ignore is the gate he pursues and plants his people there. Get ready. Things have changed. I say things have changed in the name of Jesus Christ. So I take my gate. No, I didn't hear. So I take my gate. 1 Kings 22, verse 8. So we need gatekeepers who are shouting. I'm not saying all of you are going to open Christian channels, but you can be creative with your gate. There are many things you can teach this world through the gate with a Christ consciousness. The Bible says, so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man. You know, they wanted to go to war. And the king of Judah, that's Jehoshaphat, said to the king of Israel, if I don't hear from a prophet, I'm going nowhere. Get us a prophet who can tell us what's going to happen. Thank God for kings like that who honor the words of God's servants. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, well, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may... So I said, why are you laughing? This story always makes me laugh. By whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. He didn't hide it. He said, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, prophesies evil. You know, and kings are like that. They always want you to prophesy what they want to hear. He says, and Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Oh God. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imla, quickly. Amen. Are we together? The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, did what? sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of where? Samaria. Where did they sit? At the gates. And all the prophets prophesied before them. That means gate is a place of international diplomacy. From Christ Family Center, God is raising diplomats. Amen. Ambassadors. Amen. Policy makers. Amen. Men that can negotiate national treaties. Am I talking to someone? Are you one of such people? Good government. And of course, all the other prophets came there and prophesied what the king liked to hear. But as you can read that story when you go back. When Micaiah came, he told them the truth. And it happened exactly as he said. Are you me? In fact, they beat him up. So, but where did the kings sit to talk? At the gate. Because gates were not just passages. Gates were places for diplomacy. And I'm talking to someone. How many of you would love to be at a place where if you make a decision, people would love to hear what you have to say? They need your opinion. Don't get this mixed up. In the early church, we hear that 3,000 got saved, 5,000 got saved. How many of you know after that the narrative changed from Acts chapter 8? It was not dwelling on the multitude that were getting saved. It was talking about specific men of influence who were getting saved. For example, the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch was the accountant general of Ethiopia, one of the wealthiest nations of his time. That means even in the spread of the gospel, are you getting me? The early disciples were not walking as weaklings. They had an understanding of the Christ. It was through that Ethiopian eunuch that the gospel entered Africa. And how many of you know that Ethiopia is the only country in the world that has never been colonized? I've been there. I see city changers here. Those of you listening to me and watching me, I see you as city changers in the name of the Lord Jesus. Finally, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 19. Oh, after this convention, somebody is going to rise up like Caleb and say, give me this mountain. Let me take it. I love Caleb. He was a 40-year-old man. When Moses made a promise to him that when we enter into this land, this mountain will belong to you. There were still giants there. And scripture tells us that when they came into the land, he was 80 years. You know what he told Joshua? He said, Joshua, now give me what is mine. He says, 40 years ago, a promise was made to me. Today, I am 80 years. He said, and my natural strength has not abated. He said, I'm as strong as I was 40 years ago. What he was saying is that the drive, the excitement. How many of you can hold on to something tenaciously for 40 years? Are you with me? I say, look, this is what God has said concerning me in this place. And that's what it's going to be. If you're 20 years now, in 30 years you'll be 50. Where will you be sitting? If you're 40 years now, in 10 years you'll be 50. Where will you be sitting? Am I talking to someone? What gate are you seeing? Or do you still want to just remain in that place where somebody will be making the decision that affects you? So I'm out. Jeremiah 17:19. Thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. Verse 20 says, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by this gate. Meaning that as pastors, your mind needs to open. Your minds need to open. That there are places that without gates we can't enter, because gates are media points for the gospel. What God said to the prophet, he said, go to the gates and announce it. That means certain messages will not be heard until we get to the gates. That is why Christ Family Ministry is positioned. We are getting on televisions, on radios. Amen. Am I talking to somebody? We have taken over. Amen. Because the message that is given to us, I was telling them in Abuja, make no mistake of thinking, hello, that because you're on the side of truth, victory is sure. No. Don't ever make that mistake. You know, I mean, if you believe that because we are saying the truth, truth will always win. How many of you have heard truth will always win? No. It's truth that is actively pursued, that is actively pushed, that wins. You know why? Because truth can fail. That's what Jeremiah says. Truth can fail when propaganda thrives. And what is propaganda? When somebody takes a lie and begins to paint it and present it in a way, if you keep hearing it, are you getting me? People will be swayed in the direction of a lie. So I've made up my mind, and I know you are here too. And thank God for all our partners who have seen what we have seen. Are you with me? That we're not going to take this line down. We are going to announce at the gates the truth that God has put in our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're on the side of truth. And we are deliberate about truth. How many of you have seen what's happening with CFC Kids? Lovely. Lovely. Do you know, with all this, we are truly the church without walls. Do you know that the God is Good convention is going on right now? If your kids are registered, they are watching, they are listening, and this will shock you. The same message that is preached here is the same message that is preached to them. We can't be kept, we can't be bound. And that is why we must surf the next waves of media as a church. Listen, very soon your television will become a monument, because almost every media house you see is moving towards phones, because the world is going to be in a fast pace that nobody will have time to sit down and watch television. So those of you still thinking television, 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 things are shifting. I like Premier League. Do you know where I watch most of the Premier League that Liverpool is not going to win? Most of the matches, do you know where I watch them? On my phone. Listen, it's already happening. Very soon our messages will be carried on phones everywhere. You'll be able to reach 1 million people at a go. Because you're everywhere. Place of influence. Now, the thing is not about going on air. It's about the people who control and regulate the things that go on air need to be you. You know why? Because you can be doing these things, you can have visions, you can have dreams, the church can have a good message, but can be frustrated by an evil gatekeeper. So Matthew 16 now, look at this. Matthew 16, verse 15. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" I have 12 more minutes. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in the last two sessions, I've been dwelling on this. I'm going to run a series, Christ Consciousness. Because this convention is not enough to unveil everything that is in that teaching. See, you are the Christ. Jesus answered, Kai, do you know when I was going home, my head was still sparking today. When Paul said in Colossians 2, all the insight, all the knowledge, all the wisdom in Christ. And listen, the knowledge talked about the... Sorry, I'm going off. I'm going to come back to Matthew. The knowledge talked about there is no knowledge of the Bible. It's knowledge and insight into how things work. Knowledge and insight into the operations of life. That means some of you can look at corporations and tell them exactly what they need to revive that corporation. All the knowledge you are looking for. All the insights. Solutions to complex problems. Like the Daniels, like the Josephs, that is knowledge. This is not knowledge that is, oh Jesus. You think Pharaoh is a dull fellow? You think kings in, you know, some of us have some very wrong impression of ruling. We think that kings are people who just wear fancy clothes, sit down, have large fancy tables and eat. You will be obeyed and die. You have to deal with palace politics. You need to lead men to war. I'm not talking of this, not days when they used to fight, not these days when they fight wars from iPads. Are you getting me? In those days, you take a sword, you lead your people to war. That means these men had to be extremely what? Intelligent. They were men who were consulting medium to get what? Ideas. So when they say gather all the magicians in the land, those magicians, the people who were dealing in esoteric terms. Men who could provide them answers. And they were paying them well to think. They were paying them well to see. They were paying them well to bring ideas. That's why they get angry sometimes. Say, if you don't provide this answer, I'm going to kill you all. I can't feed you for nothing. And then they bring this boy from a prison. Who would have imagined that the answer to this national problem and disaster was in a young boy who was in his mid-20s. Glory to God. Somewhere in a dungeon. And as he stood there, he said, "The Lord will reveal." Kai. And from there, he began to pour forth the answers. I know what the king said. He said, who else can we find? Not only did he, I love Joseph. He described the problem and he preferred the what? The solution. And the king said, who again? Who? Did they question his age? Did they question where he's coming from? You know why you can't legislate wisdom? See, there's something that if you have, nobody will be asking which zone are you coming from. All this thing about zone B, zone A, zone C, zone D. You know why? It's because men have, you've not risen above the level of normal people. You are still at the level of everybody's thoughts. That's why we ration political offices. But can I speak to someone? We have emerging leaders whom from the dungeons or wherever your situation is, are you me? You will come up with the ideas of God. Kings will not ask, where are you coming from? Kings will not ask, are you getting me? Who gave birth to you? And the Bible says these things is found in Christ. That's what Paul was saying. The wisdom, the knowledge, the ideas, the concepts. When Daniel stood in front of the king, he said, I'm going to make you rich. Just tell me the answer to this problem. We heard you are a mystic, able to solve complex problems. Church, we are solution providers. Some of you here, big corporations will send for you. They will send for you. And God will give you ideas that their doctorate degree holders will not have. You know why? Because you are meditating on these truths, Libarakata, praying in the Holy Ghost, you will begin to change levels of intelligence. That means beyond the levels of things that were taught you in school, you begin to reach deeper into places that natural minds cannot go. You will begin to experience quantum leaps of visions. You see things. Not in the realm of ordinary men. That is Christ. That is who Peter said Jesus is. You are the Christ. The spirit of Christ is the spirit of dominion. Jesus said, oh, he saw it. And look at the answer that he gave. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. In connection to the Christ. Look at, what did he say next? Verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Oh. Who answered in verse 15? In verse 6. Who answered in verse 16? It was Simon. When the revelation of Christ came, his name changed. You know what Simon means? Unstable. Shaken like a reed. You know what Peter means? Stable. That means it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your instabilities. See, you don't need to be too intelligent in Christ. You just need to know Christ to become intelligent. See, you don't need to be too intelligent to know Christ. You just need to study Christ and step into dimensions of intelligence. Someone was talking to me, said, Pastor Rome, you just seem to know things. I said, no, I opened my mind. Daniel said, and I opened my mind to know. That means there's a place in Christ. Am I talking to people? There's a place in Christ where you open your mind. I'm going to share this with you tomorrow morning. Where you can begin to access depths. I can't say some things to you here right now. But you begin to access depths. You begin to see the bigger picture. Didn't you just see Peter? 3,000 men, 5,000 men. See administration. This is somebody who never went to school. Fisherman. The church was growing. Wait. See, the anointing, don't limit the anointing to only Holy Ghost services. Those are manifestations of the anointing. See, those are manifestations of the anointing. As you are sitting here right now, if you're born again, you are carrying Christ. You are anointed. Those are moments when the power of God comes upon us, and they are very important moments. But you know, that is the level that they were experiencing it under the Old Testament. The power of God coming upon, and it's very, listen to me, the power of God still comes upon us. But do you know, there is something higher in the New Testament. That which used to come upon them periodically, the Bible says, is now tabernacled in us. This is the mystery which has been revealed, that Christ is now in you. That's what we have not understood. Christ is now in you, the hope of glory. And what Paul says is that what you set your mind to do is not to look for what you have, is to understand what you have. That's why his greatest prayer was that ever since he heard of their faith and their love for the brethren, he ceased not to make mention of them in his prayer. That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation, apocalypsis, in the knowledge of him. The eyes of their understanding being enlightened. Meaning that these things are in them. The only thing they are suffering from is an unenlightened mind. It's there, but they can't see it. And how many of you know what light does? Light helps you to see. It doesn't help to put. If there are no cameras in this hall, it doesn't matter how many lights you shine. It won't bring one. But if there are things in this hall you cannot see, when light comes, it will open you up to see. Everything you need in life for godliness, to be everything God wants you to be, they're already deposited in you. As the light of God's word flashes into your heart, you will begin to see things. You will begin to know things. The Christian is not ordinary. Are you getting me? That institution called Christ is not ordinary. Upon this rock, upon the revelation of Christ, I build my church. That means the church is built on the grounds of authority, on the grounds of dominion, on the grounds of intelligence, of the grounds of wisdom. The wisest people in Makurdi, I found in Christ Family Center, because the Holy Ghost is doing what? He's dwelling in them. The wisest people in that office, are you with me? Are found in, their prayers are answered in you. Naaman, famous king, yet he was a leper. The wisdom for wholeness was in a girl, we don't know her name, other than the fact that Jesus used that to preach. She was a slave girl. Oh, I'm sure Naaman will be saying, thank God I saved this girl and brought her into my house as a slave. He said, come, I know a prophet in Israel that can solve this problem. Some of you are pointers to the solutions of people. That's where God has placed you. Wait. You think Naaman came back to that house and that girl still had slave status? Do you know Naaman became a worshiper of God? She even had to tell the prophet's servant, to tell the prophet, say, please, when I go back to Syria, are you getting me? And I'm going in with the king. Since I'm his right-hand man, I will still need to do what? Follow him to the temple of Dagon when he's going to worship. But I want you to know, tell your prophet that even if I'm there bowing down with him, my heart is not there. I worship the God of Israel. Deep seven times. The prophet didn't even come out to wave his hand. We don't need drama. One of my sons in the faith was telling me some, in Abuja, he was telling me how he met... He was working with this man who is a Muslim. Tomorrow I'm going to tell you how the qualities that describe gatekeepers and how to step into these things. And he was telling him. So, you know, a woman came to the office. He was there working for the man. He runs errands for the man. I said, what were you doing for the... He said, I was like his PA. In fact, he was his PA. So I run his errands. I do his things. I help him organize his desk. And that's the kind of person he is. He's a pastor. So one day, someone came to see his boss, who is a Christian. And the person, when the person entered, you know, he knew the woman before. And the woman said, oh, pastor, you are here? What did you come to do in this office? He said, no, I work here. He said, oh, you work here? He said, from that day, his boss's attitude towards him changed. So every month, the boss will call him and say, this is not your salary. This check is for you. So you are a pastor, you didn't tell me. That anytime they are going to bid for a contract or anything, the man will say, this check is for you. Talk to God. Then tell me how we are going to go about this. He said, the man started giving him prophetic offering, different from salary. The man told him that, I always knew there was something about you, but I don't know what it was. Now I know. That's when it dawned on him that all those moments he will sit with the man and they will be deliberating. He will be saying things he thinks are ordinary. But those were the things the man will go and act upon that will produce the result. They were getting contracts in millions. You know, sometimes when you become familiar with something, you will not know. May you not be familiar with Christ. He says, I will build my church. You know what he says next? And the gates of hell will not prevail. You know the picture he gives to us, that the gate of hell is a moving force. That if someone does not rise to stop it, it's not going to maintain status quo. What we don't stand up as a church to take will advance against us. But those days are over. Because Jesus is not coming for a weak, defeated church. See, when Jesus comes, the church will be shining brightest. You'll be shining brightest. I love that book by Kenneth E. Hagin. it will be a triumphant church. It's not a defeated, worn out church. And I'm telling you, Christ Family Center, hear me and hear me well. We are part of the end time move of God's Spirit. We are shaking our land, shaking our world with the gospel like nothing they've ever seen before. Those of you who are into art, you will shake your world with art. Those of you who are into technology, you will shake your world with technology. Those of you who are into commerce, you will shake your world with commerce. Those of you who are into ministry, you will shake your world with ministry. Listen, there will be nothing that is small about us. To possess means you have to actively take. That means you are going to rise up. You don't take over sitting down. Okay, Jimmy, you've been trying to do something for me, so come. Come and take my things. How could he take them? By coming up. If he never stood up, he will never take. You don't take sitting. You say you are waiting till you graduate. Who said you must graduate as a student? You can become the gatekeeper of your campus. It's your inheritance. It is your blood bought right. Can I speak to you? Judiciary is your blood right. That means where you find yourself, you say, this is mine. This is what the church is built on. Not beggars. We are a force moving. That's why where there is no church, hell will run rampant. Hell is going to have a field day where believers have not caught the revelation of Christ. You spend 4 years running a course in a school and you didn't shake that place. What were you doing? Copying notes? Just taking lessons? Onto what? And project? Then you graduated so you can join Coppers. Then after you finish from Coppers, you now enter the labor market. Then attend miracle services for a job. Then you now get that job so that you can drive home and let the young people know that you have arrived in your Range Rover S. Say, we used to know this boy. Say, yeah, son of the soil. Son of the soil. Come, let's pray for you. Let's help you. Let's pray for him. You are an illustrious son. You are not illustrious if you don't propagate an agenda. Your agenda is the gospel. You don't need to live where you are. Turn where you are to a mission station. Actively. I was talking to a sister three years ago. And she was just telling me how she's frustrated and this, but that she loves to teach. But, you know, look at the way they treat teachers. I say, forget about how they treat teachers and begin to see your assignment. Begin to see who God has made you. I say, you will not be a frustrated teacher. Your reward will not be in heaven. And I started talking to her about how you can shape lives. How you can redefine society and frame culture. I say, you are positioned in a place. Be the gatekeeper of that place. Every person in CFC and every person listening to me, hear me. You were born for the top. Rise up, amen. You were born for the top. You cannot scavenge and beg like birds. You were born a bird of prey, not to be preyed upon. Don't be the prey, hunt. The eagle is what defines us, not the vulture. We don't fly. We soar. We understand the currents of the spirit. We spread our wings. We reinvent ourselves. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. If you receive God's word tonight, go ahead and give him praise. Just bless his name. Rabada shotalaba halemo santalaba. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for every single person under the sound of my voice. I decree and I declare tonight that no more mediocres. That your word is awakening things in our hearts and is performing a quick work. For as the spirit of this world enter these people, is raising them up to their feet in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. Amen.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.